It's time for the Drive's Top 4 at 4.
Hour number 2 of the Drive starts now. Tucker Carlson in with our Top 4 at 4. Tucker, take it away.
Thank you, Bear. At number 1, Tennessee baseball continues its season with a Top 4 series against number 3 Kentucky in Lexington this weekend. First pitch tonight is at 6:30. It is at 2 tomorrow and 1 on Sunday. The Vols will start Chris Stamos, Drew Beam, and Xander Seacrest in that order.
Let's get these cats, the Bat Cats. That's their thing now, right?
Yeah.
Bat Cat. Not bad, really.
What do they call themselves?
Bat Cats.
Bat Cats.
Yeah. Bat Cats.
Bat Cats. Better than.
I get it. It's just.
What's better, that or Vandy Boys?
Bat Cats.
More cringy? Vandy Boys, but I mean, Bat Cats, I mean, it tracks that fan base.
Bat Cats.
Shall we?
And Vandy Boys. Who do the Vandy Boys have? They played last night, Florida, you said?
Yeah, they beat Florida pretty good last night.
Oh,
Florida,
is that how that
stinks.
One ended up?
Yeah, it was what, like 10-5, 13-5, something like that.
What's your coach's name?
Florida?
Yeah.
Sully.
Kevin O'Sullivan.
Yeah, Sully.
Yeah.
He looks like a meathead.
Florida has the pieces to be a very good team. They just haven't put it all together this year for some reason.
Didn't they have a pretty good start to the season and then just like melted down once league play started?
They do that thing where they lose midweek games like every other week. And they just haven't been that good this year in SEC play.
I'll give them credit. Their midweek games, they do play like, you know, Florida State. I feel like they play Miami. Like they play a couple of pretty good ones. But then they've also lost.
You mix in like the Jacksonvilles and Stetsons of the world, and it's not so good. I'm trying to think, who did they lose to? Yeah, it was Missouri. They lost 2 of 3 in that series to Missouri.
Missouri stinks.
Yeah.
Weird. Weird year in the SEC. You got Kentucky at 14-1, and Florida's, what, 7-9 now?
It's not good, whatever it is.
7-10?
Not optimal. Suboptimal.
Suboptimal, we say.
At number 2, the NCAA has made 2 rule changes official for the upcoming college football season. The first is helmet radios for 1 player on each side of the ball, the quarterback on offense and middle linebacker on defense, preferably the middle linebacker. The other is 2-minute warnings at the end of each half.
I'm sorry, that last one is, like, that's official? We're doing that?
Yeah.
What was it last year? Just the second half?
No, there was no.
No, there were no
warning.
2-minute warnings. So, it was just the.
Let me. I want to get this straight. So they tried to shorten the game with the running clock going out of bounds and first downs and all that.
Yeah.
But now they're going to stop the game to make sure they can fit in all their commercials at the 2-minute mark.
That they need so much of.
Because they were missing out on revenue.
So we get less football.
More commercials.
More commercials.
I'll take it.
But it's for player safety.
We were one of the teams that were affected the most by that rule change.
I know, and I don't like it.
Yeah, I don't either. At all.
It's an outrage. It's a damn shame.
At number 3, Kenny Payne will be a member of John Calipari's staff at Arkansas. Payne spent a decade as a member of Calipari's staff at Kentucky, most of which he was the associate head coach for. Between now and then, he spent 2 seasons apiece with the New York Knicks, and as you guys know recently, the head coach of his alma mater, Louisville.
Where he was amazing.
How many games did he win up there? Like 4?
Did he crack double digits in the 2 years?
I think he may have hit 12.
Wow. Okay. What's his role? Did they say what his role would be? Like,
did not see what his role would be, but
recruiting coordinator.
Again, he's worked for a long time under Calipari, so there's a good connection there between the two.
I mean, I got a feeling Cal's going to be all right at Arkansas.
Yeah,
that's
just fine.
That's kind of a weird one, but helping an old friend out like that.
Again,
as long as he's
not the head coach, it's fine, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of Cal's system, Cal's stuff. Just help him get players and help him run a practice. Not too bad. Wow.
And finally, at number 4, Duke transfer Mark Mitchell has committed to Dennis Gates and Missouri. Mitchell averaged 11.6 points and 6 rebounds per game this past season for the Blue Devils.
Sorry, Bear.
I mean, I wanted him here. Didn't want to admit it to Hudson, but yeah, Duke. They've got two players right now.
They do have the best signing class coming in, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, they'll be just fine.
But it is weird.
Yeah, they're like being recruited over in this situation.
Also, Missouri? Really? Was there a tie there? Did were other teams just not interested? Like,
I don't know. I don't know if it's strictly an NIL deal. You know, he was their number one target.
Is Davey a Missouri fan now? If he's such a big fan of Mark Mitchell?
No, no way. He was hoping he'd come to UT. We talked about it.
Missouri's doing something fishy up there with their NIL. They're getting some football recruits all of a sudden.
Nothing fishy. They've been above board about it.
There's a law. Let me look it up.
No, yeah, but that's for like high school players. They can get paid their NIL while they're in high school. I don't know how that helps you in the transfer portal. There's something going on. I don't trust it.
They've got money. The portal giveth and the portal taketh away, man.
Yeah, it is high school related. It allows high schoolers to get paid as soon as they sign with the school.
I'd like that. We should do that. I would absolutely sign up for us stealing that. Hey, you signed.
Surprised we haven't.
Yeah, really. You're right. I could be wrong. I thought Missouri was the first. They might actually be one of the only. Maybe California, you can do that too. But no, that's a good gig. I'd like to see us adopt that. Also, the new Virginia law where you can pay directly from the school. We should just adopt all of it. Just whatever works best for the student athlete, we should be able to do it. I'm all for it. Let's get to work.
Is that it?
Yep.
Well done, Tucker.
Top 4-4. Nicely done, Tucker.
Very well done.
There's so much turmoil right now.
With what?
That transfer portal. NIL.
No, it's a mess, man.
The whole thing. I wonder how long this ride's going to last until it finally cooler heads prevail.
Here's an interesting transfer today. It's not top 4 or 5 worthy, but Katie Johnson from Auburn headed to George Mason.
What?
Really?
Really?
Yes.
Who's at George Mason now?
Not Kim English.
Yeah, he's at what, Providence?
Providence, yeah.
Okay. They also lost Bruce lost another I think he was a 5-star last year.
Aiden Holloway.
He's visiting Alabama?
Yeah, he's visiting Alabama.
Hmm.
Oates could turn him into a high-caliber NBA prospect.
No, you don't think Bruce could have done that?
Well, just with the system.
No, I got you. Yeah. Threes and rim shots.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't know. Like, I always kind of laughed when Auburn fans would talk about KD Johnson, but I felt like he was a little bit better than going to George Mason. No? Like,
well,
I know he was inconsistent, but I feel like when that kid was on, he was pretty damn good. I'm surprised that George Mason's where he landed.
There are friends of mine that go to Auburn that despised him throughout his time there. I guess, what was it, 3 years that he was at Auburn? And I remember that Kentucky game, he was part of the just brick show down there.
No, he definitely had a few games where it was like 1 of 19, 0 oh, yeah. of 18. But if he came out and hit his first couple, Auburn was usually pretty tough to beat, but just such an inconsistent play. He played very emotional, and I feel like if he was not having a good start, you could just basically write him off for the rest of the game.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. From here on out, the rest of the show, we are wall-to-wall, y'all. The number to call in is 865-288-3131.
Hey, you
got it. Callers are starting to stack up now. So we're going to go to the phone lines first, where we have Jamie batting lead off today. Jamie, how are you, sir?
Doing good, guys. What's my cool walk-up music?
What do you want? You pick.
Bad to the bone? How about some Thorogood Bad to the Bone, please?
Don't think it's in the system, Jamie.
bad.
There you go. So I haven't caught a lot today. I heard you right there, Bear. Did we have some bad portal news that I don't know about?
Not bad news. Mark Mitchell, transfer from Duke. He's going to Mizzou, committed to them today. We had Ryan Shumpert on in the first hour, and no surprise, Barnes and Company are taking a very slow, methodical approach to the transfer portal.
Mm-hmm.
They're not just taking bodies taking commitments to fill spots. So
no, like in football and in baseball, we've got no need to fill bodies. We can pick and choose. Barnes has built the program to that level, at least. I give him that.
Who was it, Houston? The phones have been ringing.
Barnes said that. Yeah, he said our phones are ringing off the hook. We got guys that want to come here. We just have to, you know, be selective in who we want to, you know, talk with, get serious about, kind of recruit-ish, interview-ish, because I think it's a little bit of both. You want to recruit them, but with Barnes, we know if you're not willing to come in and do the work and kind of fit the culture, like they're not going to waste their time or the players' time. You got to be a good fit.
Yeah, he's close, man. He is real close. We were as close to knocking down the door to the Final Four this year as we were the year that we went to the Elite Eight under Pearl. So hopefully we can keep that moving in the right direction. But guys, I called earlier in the week, and I know we were up against the top of the hour break, and I mentioned the miracle that Tony Vitello is, and Russ said we would pick it up on the other end. Of course, he didn't. So, guys, you know, before Vitello got here, we were Vanderbilt level. I'm speaking in football terms now. We were bottom three in this conference in baseball. Just absolutely, not even a second thought program. Terrible stadium. Just no tradition. And this guy, not only did he get us, you know, breathe some life in our program, but we are now the it place to be. Not just in this conference, but in the country, man. I mean, we're a rock star in baseball. I mean, we are the show. And, you know, baseball players in the country are falling all over themselves to come here. And I'm just in awe of what Vitello's doing, man. I like to, I got a reputation for being overly negative, so let me throw some of that out, man. This guy, his program, man, not only do we win, but we win like we did under Pearl with that, you know, with some style and some, you know, with some in-your-face, you know, crotch grabbing, just everything about it. It's the show, man. It's where to be, and I'm all about it. I mean, I can't believe here we are. If you had told me 5 years ago that I'm setting my weekend around what time we play baseball, are you kidding me? I mean, all my life I listened to John Wilkerson just because he's really good at calling baseball games and just from the car. But it's must-see TV. It's must-see. I can't get enough. I just want to be make sure that I get that message out there across the airwaves today.
No, it really is unbelievable. I mean, because we tried it before with a proven, you know, World Series type coach in Serrano, and it just never took off. And then we hire, you know, an assistant from Arkansas who played at Missouri, and you're like, well, okay, like I guess we'll see what happens. But I don't know. There's like no way anybody could have known or seen this coming.
Mm-mm.
What he's done in 4 or 5 years, and one of the things I don't want to say I was worried about it, Jamie, but like you had that one season, you're like, oh man, that was great. We didn't win, you know, we didn't get to the College World Series. Like, did we miss our window? And then every year he's just like, no, we're still going to be very, very good. Like, don't worry. You don't have to worry as much about is Tennessee baseball going to be good. They're going to hit home runs. They're going to play an exciting style of baseball. And the fact that you're right. He took us from the dumpster to, we've been to Omaha, what, two times, three times now? Twice?
Yeah, two times.
And the best team he had, one of them, the season got canceled. And the other one, you had a coach and a player thrown out, and you didn't get out of the Supers. Like, realistically, this could be four out of, what, 5 or 6 years where he's gotten to Omaha? Like, you're consistently good. It's ridiculous. It's so good.
It's unheard of. And the hill to climb in baseball was definitely harder than basketball and football. I mean, we at least have some tradition in both of those, you know, football being the most. But just the uphill climb for him to come in here and do what he did, do what he's done, man, and just, you know, them throwing all kinds of money into that stadium over there to try to get it up to the other schools around here. I just find it hilarious. And you know something else, guys, that I hadn't even thought about, but we really went the untraditional route to hire all three of our big-time coaches, and they're all successful. I mean, we hired a fired guy in basketball. We hired a guy, you know, who nobody wanted in football. I mean, we did, you know, whenever we fired Pruitt, nobody mentioned Heupel. Oh, let's go check out the Central Florida's football coach. Nobody. And I, for one, was not impressed with the hire, just, you know, Googling him. And I was like, yeah, he scores a lot of points. Is he a winner? I don't know. Can he come and recruit at this level? I don't know. But, man, and you know what? The especially in the football and baseball side of it, it is not only do we win, but we win in exciting, you know, exciting fashion. And I may be alone in that, but that, to me, I like winning. I love it. But, man, when you do it with flash like we do, in those two sports especially, it's man, it's fun. It's fun. It's must see TV. And I don't mean to say that to poo poo on Barnes, because it sure is fun to be in the Elite Eight too. I mean style or no style, that's something to be proud of. So this ain't that wasn't taking a shot at him. What I am trying to do is throw some positive vibes towards the other two guys for that, for bringing that to us. But I just want to get that out there, guys. I'm sure I'll have plenty of time the rest of the summer to tout him. It's just it's what we expect now. I mean, you know, you wouldn't have told me 10 years ago that we would be, you know, at upper echelon hosting super regionals on the reg. You know, I remember last year about this time we were worried about getting our record back to where we could even get to our conference tourney, but I got confidence, man. I got confidence in all three of them. Yeah, I know it sounds a lot. I get a reputation for not, but man, what a time! What a time to be. We certainly wandered in the desert for long enough. Of our programs,
we earned this, Jamie. Like we earned it, bro.
You're damn right. Well, I heard Bear say you had them lined up, so I'm gonna get out of the way, guys. Bear, hope everything worked out for you yesterday,
oh,
brother.
Good.
I'm glad to hear it. I was going to say, just give me names and next to ring, and I'll handle it. But y'all have a good weekend.
Thank you, buddy.
You too, Jamie. Thanks. Just a quick point on Jamie's call. Like, for Tony to do it in the SEC, like, obviously an all-time elite football conference, basketball has, you know, in the last 5-10 years,
it's improved.
There is not a conference or sport that is more difficult to navigate and win than the SEC in baseball. I'm looking at the top four teams in the country right now are SEC teams. Like, that's crazy. I mean, and it's not – it's rare to look at the top 25 and not have double-digit SEC teams year in and year out in college baseball. So for Tony to come in and ignite the fan base – the administration, and then to put the product on the field that has been so much fun and so successful. It's incredible.
I will say that it was – I think it helped that he had been – you know, he played at Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
He was at Arkansas.
Sure.
Knew that – could recognize that, you know, as he famously told us, you know, he was sitting on his couch eating tacos when John Curry called him. And you know, I'm fairly certain early on when he started, you know, he started coming on with us back in pretty soon, like right when Trey joined our show.
Mm-hmm.
I remember the afternoon Trey was like, hey, you want to get Coach Vitello on? And we were like.
And Russell's like, who the hell is that?
Well, we were like, we don't really talk about baseball a whole lot on the show, but yeah, sure. And then it really accelerated during COVID once the season got canceled. He came on with us like every other week and would just hang out. But, with all that being said, I think you could look at Tennessee and be like, it's Tennessee. You know there's money there.
Yeah, and we love a winner.
Yeah, and it was just a no-brainer. And then he came in and basically applied what he had done at, you know, what he had worked under at Arkansas, and here we are. It's one of the best programs in the country.
Well, Houston, to go back to your point, The last time the NCAA World Series champion did not come from the SEC was 2018. The last time an SEC team did not make it to the College World Series final was 2016.
That's wild, man.
When was I wonder when the last College World Series was that did not feature an SEC team?
Oh, God, I don't know.
You'd have to go back
like the 80s.
A lot of archives.
I don't even know if it'd be the 80s because, you know, one of the – I haven't – over the years never went to a whole lot of Tennessee baseball games, but I was at the Tennessee baseball game when Bo Jackson and Frank Thomas rolled in here with Auburn. That was unbelievable to watch Frank Thomas hit a ball. He murdered it. So we're going to take our first break of the hour, and we'll go straight back to the busy, busy phone lines. Coming up next, you're listening to The Drive on Fan Run Radio. The drive rages on. Cannot be stopped. Won't stop, Houston Cress. No matter what.
I agree.
Stomach bug's not going to take us down.
Well, not us, because we don't have the stomach bug.
It is weird that no one else got it.
What are you hinting at?
I just find it odd. I mean, we were in a closed-off room with him for 72 hours, basically, or 3 days in a row.
They don't always work like that.
Are you positing that maybe he's not sick and he's faking?
Oh, no.
That's what it kind of sounds like. Like no one else is sick, but he got sick.
No.
I think it was
I'm concerned about him. I'm putting on my doctor's hat right now. I'm a little concerned. Unlike you, doesn't seem to care at all.
No, I do care. I was just wondering where you were going with that because it sounded a little bit like you were saying maybe he's faking it.
Well, I'll tell you where we're going. We're going right back to the busy phone lines.
All right.
Gets my better judgment. I'm going to bring him in. TJ, the Kentucky fan.
What up, Teej?
Hey, guys. Hey, real quick before I get into it, if any of the Vol faithful are going to the game this weekend, Kentucky Children's Hospital are putting on a drive, teddy bear drive for the kids. I know that we're rivals, but I think one thing that we all can agree with is the stuff that these kids go through is absolute bullcrap. They're stronger than I ever will be mentally or physically. It's a good cause, so if you want to take a teddy bear to the game, they'll have a drop box there at the gate when you walk in. I think that's one thing that both rivals can agree on is that this is going for a good cause.
Yeah, 100%. I shared that the other day. Thanks for reminding me. I'm going to reshare it right now. Pretty cool thing Kentucky's doing. I hope those kids don't mind if a couple of those teddy bears are big orange.
I guarantee you they probably won't, man. You know, one thing real quick before I get into the baseball series, because it is a big series, Kenny Payne going with Cal, that's hilarious. That is one of the things that Kentucky faithful is proud of that we got rid of because Calipari will not change his ways whatsoever. But anyway, one thing that I hate that I've seen a lot online is, you know, Tennessee is going to sweep this series. Who has Kentucky played? They haven't played anybody, et cetera, et cetera. Both teams, I don't know if y'all realize this, but both teams have not beaten a team that is above 500 in the conference. Both teams are also 2-1 at neutral sites. Tennessee is 26-2 at home, 3-3 on the road, but Kentucky is 17-2 at home, but 12-2 on the road. I think this is going to be a tremendous series. And either one of these teams, let's say Tennessee wins 2 out of 3 or Kentucky wins 2 out of 3, you mentioned the top 4 are SEC teams. Do you see either one of those teams moving up to the 2 spot, or is it pretty 1, 2, 3, 4 all the way down until somebody goes on a hot streak?
It'll depend on what A&M and Arkansas do this weekend.
Well, A&M won game 1 of that series. They had to play it today because it got rained out last night. They won 10-5.
Okay.
They're up 3-0 currently on Alabama in the top of the second, so all looks to be going well for the Aggies, and Arkansas is playing at South Carolina. South Carolina is another one of those SEC teams that's in the top 25, not highly rated comparatively to the rest of the teams.
Yeah, they're 20th right now.
You know, not a series you want to mess around in, if you will.
So I know that a lot of people like to mention, though, you know, Kentucky lost all of their players from last year with the exodus of John Calipari. But is anybody paying attention to what's going on with Duke right now?
Yeah, but it's a little bit different because unlike Duke, unlike Kentucky, did not lose their entire incoming class. Like Cal, not only did the players leave, he also took all – he took that number one recruiting class with him, did he not?
Or at least he's going to.
Yeah.
Seemingly.
I mean, I get that, but he's lost 7 5-star McDonald's All-Americans.
Duke?
Yeah, which one of them was their starting point guard who arguably could have been an All-American this year in Roach.
Believe it or not, it sounds like they got recruited over with this year's class.
That's the weird part of it. And usually Duke, too, is accustomed to losing high-profile recruits in a year anyway to the NBA, just the way things work with one-and-dones, kind of like they do at Kentucky.
My last thing on my way out, Henry Toho, you know, I know it's a name that doesn't like to be mentioned in Knoxville, but he went to Alabama. Would you guys compare that to, I think his name is Jonas Adehu, who has reached out to Kentucky and vice versa? If he goes to Kentucky, would you put that in the same category as Henry Toto?
First of all, TJ, did you say Adehu?
Got to learn his name if he's going to be a part of your team.
He got Toho Toho right, but he couldn't say Adu?
Bah!
That's actually pretty impressive that you can pronounce Toho Toho, but not the...
He didn't pronounce Toho Toho right either. He called him Toho Toho, didn't he?
Yeah, he did say that. The H's made it in there.
Yeah.
Adehu? There's no H. Where did the who come from?
What a clown.
To be honest, man, a little bit.
Just a complete
somewhat.
Clown.
He's kind of right, though. Like, it'll feel that way if he goes to Kentucky.
Yeah.
He'll be dead to us.
Yeah.
I do wonder how the Kentucky fans will feel about him because we've mentioned it all year. He did not match up well with other big men.
Right,
and once
right.
Kentucky fans realize that, they're going to turn on him. It's what they do.
Yeah. Let's get right back to it where we have the mayor of Sono, Philly. Philly, how are you, sir?
Good night, bro.
How's it going, my man?
I'm glad you got the B team in there. I'm glad to see Houston and Tucker getting wire time.
This is the A team.
Tiger team.
The Tiger team,
yeah,
Phil.
T team.
Is that what it is?
Something like that.
It's nice hearing that Kentucky fan calling in. They got two players, right?
Don't they have two?
Or three players?
They've got two.
Yeah, they've got two, and Duke's got two, right?
Yeah, but the problem is like
seven.
Yeah, but what I was trying to explain to him, Phil, is unlike Duke, Kentucky doesn't have that number one class coming in with, 7 5-stars.
Well,
Kentucky's got Mark
I don't like the way
Mark
things
Pope.
Are going to college basketball, but that's the way it's going to be every year, and we're going to have to get used to it. Talk about core players and building culture. It's going to be hard to build cultures when they're all gone. Next year you'll just have, Cameron Carr and
we'll have
J.P. Estrella and Cade Phillips, and the rest of them are gone, right?
Yeah, I mentioned that the other day. Like, gone are the days where somebody's been in your program for 2 or 3 years and you can count on them to be that culture giver for the next two.
Or you might just have, one or,
Yeah.
Right now I feel like our core culture guys going forward this year are going to – obviously, Ziegler, Mayshak,
mm-hmm.
Gainey.
Yeah, I think Gainey counts in there.
Yeah. Guys that are fully bought into the barn, the system, to the program. So,
well, next year after next is what I'm concerned about.
Yeah,
they've got they got your people be leaders like Ziegler and Mayshak.
But I always say that, Phil, and then he ends up putting together a roster that's getting to the Sweet 16 or the Elite Eight.
That's why we really need. You're going to really need those three: Carr, Estrella, and Phillips.
They need to be hits.
Yeah, they need to be hits, and so that they can be. The next two or three guys that lead the team.
Yeah, and you're going to have hits out of the portal. You can't afford to have another Tyreek Key or a Lou Evans type player in the transfer portal.
No, but I think that I like the approach that Barnes and company are taking. They're in no rush. They're not just going to rush out and you know, being very particular. I don't know if – did you hear Barnes' comments today that – I don't know if it's today or yesterday. Basically, their phone's ringing off the hook right now from kids in the portal. I mean, people want to come here.
They better get some people visiting, though, because all these other places are going to take all the good players. And look at – I mean, Baylor's cleaning up. Ohio State's cleaning up.
We talked about that. Like, you want to be selective, and I totally get it, but a lot of these schools that maybe don't care as much about kind of culture and fit, they just want good players. Like, that affords them the ability to jump a little bit faster at somebody, offer them whatever, and lock them up early. But until it's a problem, I'm not going to worry too much about it.
Yeah, well, if they don't work out, they'll throw them off. I mean, that's just the way it is now. You don't do the culture, you're gone. That's what's been going on the last 2 years. Nobody's had a problem with it.
No, but I think next year we're still in that window where we could probably, if we put together the right pieces, and if there's a lot of ifs, but there are every offseason, you know, if Estrella's ready to take that next step. But with Ziegler, Meshack, Ganey, Estrella, Carr, Phillips, and we still got a really solid core, and depending on what he brings in, we could be, you know, trying to set up for another run next year.
You know, it's kind of cooler here in Utah growing some wool today. I kind of enjoyed that.
It's been a while.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't realize, like, back in the old days, Jamie was the wooliest of the woolies.
I mean, Vitale's done a great job, but to say, well, we're one of the elite programs in the country, we've only won the World Series game since 2005, right?
I don't like where this is going, Phil.
I mean, it's just telling you like it is. The SEC's tough. I mean, look how many teams in the SEC have won a national championship.
Do you think it's harder to win the World Series or harder to win the national championship in basketball?
I'd say on three, football would be the hardest.
I buy that.
Yeah.
Because you got 22 really good guys, you know, as opposed to, you know, 5 or, say, 11 or 12 or so.
Yeah.
You got more super teams in football, and it's hard to break into that elite category. That's what we're trying to do, and hopefully we can get there. I'm still waiting. It's been, 25 years since we won the SEC?
Yeah, yeah. 25 going on 26, I think.
I mean, really, you could compare – Tennessee football to Kentucky basketball right now.
I mean, yeah, I guess he's –
I don't know about that.
If Pope's not a good hire, then they'll be going down the same road we did in football.
Well, I agree with that.
Yeah, that I agree with.
But hopefully he is a terrible hire.
Oh, amen to that.
What do you think the chances are?
Of him being bad?
Yeah. He's coin flip right now?
I think – I'd say probably 65%.
Well, those fans, they were commiserating over it on that Twitter space with Matt Jones, and then they woke up the next morning acting like nothing had happened.
Yeah, like it was fine.
So I don't buy for one second that they are happy with that hire.
They're convincing themselves.
They're coping with Pope.
Yeah, cope with Pope.
Is Tucker the one who's the most knowledgeable about basketball recruiting on this panel in there today?
All right, what question do you have about it?
I want to know who you think there's a legitimate chance they're going to get in the portal. Do you have any ideas?
Well, Igor Milicic, it sounds like the returns there are good. That's that 6'10 kid from Charlotte.
Mm-hmm.
You had the Cade Tyson guy from Belmont visit.
Yep.
Sounded like that went all right. He's got a few other schools that he could be looking at. This is not portal related, but tomorrow – there is a potential commitment from a kid in the 2025 class, Dwayne Brown. He's from Hoover, Alabama. He'll be announcing his decision at 6. It's between Tennessee and Mississippi State. So that's all the nuggets I have right now on recruiting.
And then there is Chaz Lanier, who is going through the NBA draft process. And it seems like if he doesn't get a grade that he's comfortable with, Tennessee might be the landing spot for Lanier.
Phil, what
I heard that they have two possible visitors next week, but it hasn't been released yet who is coming in here.
I love a mystery.
Yeah. Phil, how would you feel? What if Adu ends up in wearing Kentucky blue?
Well, That's worse than Buck Pearl going to Kentucky. That's never happened in the history of our program. One of our basketball players going to Kentucky. It's never happened. And I can remember. He's a total traitor then. That's why I look at it. See ya.
Bah.
Bah. All right. Well, I mean, with that being said, let's just we'll just go to break.
I can't wait to see if that does happen. How Kentucky fans, you know, try to spin that. That's just funny.
I mean, what kind of reception is he going to get coming in?
I don't know. Oh, that here?
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be bad.
That'll be brutal.
Yeah, it'd be bad.
You know how our fan base is.
Yeah, it sounds like Adu, but it'd start with a B. It's a boo joke. Boo.
I love booing people.
I hate it too.
We're going to go ahead and take a break now. We'll be right back to wrap up hour number two on The Drive. You're listening to us on Fan Run Radio.
A day who?
The Drive.
Cruising along on a Friday afternoon on The Drive. Yeah, it's... Adu, if he ends up in Kentucky, that's Phil's right. We are in uncharted territory.
It's so weird because for years Kentucky fans would say things like, none of your players would start at Kentucky. None of these guys could play here. And now this is going to happen. They're going to say, oh, he just left for a better program. Like, it's just dumb.
It would have started this year off our team. Connect.
Well, obviously, yeah.
I don't know. I mean, Dillingham, he had brought him off the damn bench.
Yeah, he did come off the bench. That's a good point.
The maniac.
Shepherd did a lot of times.
Yeah, that's true.
Come off the bench, so.
I feel like Ziegler would have gotten a ton of minutes on that team.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Just being straight point and feeding. Could you imagine him dealing to those guys?
Yeah.
He'd be like a new age Tyler Ulis for them. Little guy.
I think like Joe, no. Santi, no.
Shaq, no.
No.
Although he probably – he put Shaq on that team. If they'd actually play him, he would –
Well, he'd at least know how to play defense.
He'd bring some much-needed defense to that team because he could not defend all year long.
They might have made it out
Remember
of the
going into
round.
That first game, I looked at you and I was like, Bear, they do not play defense. And you were like, well – I'm like, no. They don't play defense.
Yeah.
And we scored, what, 102?
103 up 103? There.
In Rupp in front of the coal miners. Bless their hearts.
That's great.
He's Connect would have started anywhere.
Yeah.
Just like
he's just that good.
Maybe it was just the five All Americans. The Sheed kid from Houston. Is he going in the draft? Jamal?
I don't know. I haven't heard that's an something. Update
now,
on his
you know, injury. I know we've been toying with the idea of maybe starting to pay attention to the NBA on the drive.
Yeah, Jamal Shedd is not coming back.
Okay. I feel like that maybe we could cover the draft since we've actually got some skin in the game this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It'd be a good start for us. So,
I'm fine with that.
Did you notice that they made a subtle rule change without really telling anybody? Did you see that article in the NBA after the All-Star game?
No.
Basically, they pretty much told the refs, you got to – let him play defense.
Yeah. Stop calling so many fouls.
Yeah.
And then after that, they had a game that I think there were two free throws attempted in the entire game.
Yeah. I mean, I understand that you can't let those guys put a hand on anybody because, there's just – you'd probably see scores in the 40s. I mean, those guys are so strong.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Can the NBA win me back? I stopped watching when KG and Kobe retired. That was it for me. Those are the last two.
When LeBron leaves, I'll get back into it.
You're a LeBron hater, huh?
I'm not a LeBron hater. I'm just kind of over LeBron. Great player, great athlete, but just it's the other stuff.
It's just force-fed to ESPN.
He's not the GOAT.
I don't think so. I understand there are people listening who
I've got a name, and I'd like to know why he's not in the conversation for the GOAT. When you stack up his numbers.
Who that?
Timmy D. It's only because he played the four.
Yeah. And I really don't say this.
He's got the rings.
He's just kind of boring.
Really?
I think to be the GOAT, you got to have more of a personality. Like, you got to be face of the league.
If you talk to his contemporaries, they say he was just a vicious smack talker. But it was a classic Timmy Duncan. Just it was just like one word. One or two words. Garnett's a big, nice try.
I'm a vicious trash talker. Okay. Yeah, that would really put me in my seat. That'd be terrifying.
Let's get Roberto in here ahead of the top of the hour. Roberto, you are on the drive, sir.
Hey guys, good afternoon. I actually haven't called you since the new digs. They're really cool. So
thank you.
I like your studio. Good work by Houston and the team, Tiger team, rawr, as it were. I did not know that Giannis Adahu played for the Vols this year.
Giannis Adahu?
Is it Giannis Adahu? Is that how you pronounce it?
That was one of his better troll calls. I mean, it was a thing of beauty because he leads with something that I can't trash, the children's charity, and I hope that we take a lot of orange and white bears up there. But so he's an artist. He is one of the best trolls I've ever seen in sports talk radio.
Just make sure you're not giving him too much credit. What if he really didn't know how to pronounce Adu?
I don't know about that part.
He ought to, because Adu went for a double-double each game against them.
Yeah, that's a good
point.
That's a good point.
This weekend series up in Lexington, I worry because they've kind of made us look stupid the last couple of years with their ability to steal bases, frankly. And we just don't hold runners. It's not a Frank Anderson thing. So Stamos starting, that's interesting to me. And then starting Sechrist, I wonder if we'll hold runners with lefties on the mound. And Beam has probably the best right-handed pickoff move in the SEC.
Yeah, he's got a good move. I'm curious to see that tonight. Like, do we adjust the approach on the mound to see if we can hold those guys a little closer and stop them from playing the small ball that they love so much?
Mm-hmm. Well, they play in a big ballpark, so it's a huge advantage for them. We're a hit home runs team. Now, the irony is everybody thinks we're a hit home runs at home team because we have a small stadium, which is true, but that is inaccurate. We actually average more home runs per game on the road. So I'm interested to see how this works out. I'm interested to see if we still try to continue to hit opposite field and let the ball travel. They have great pitchers, but it's classic power versus small ball, and I hope power wins. But you know, it's I think it's like 41 degrees and drizzling up there currently, so go figure. Just a normal day in Lexington. But with that said, guys, I appreciate the time. I do think Tennessee takes 2 of 3, and I actually think it's going to be really interesting because I think we take Friday, Sunday, and we don't take tomorrow, even though Beam's on the mound. Take care.
Thanks for the call. I'm on record. I think if we win tonight, we're sweeping. Don't ask me why.
Wow. I can't go there.
It's a gut feel.
All right. Man, we've got a pretty good team.
We'll see.
Find out a lot about both these teams tonight.
Yeah, this is definitely a, what are you really working with series?
So who do we have left?
Missouri, Vandy.
South Carolina.
Florida and South Carolina?
Yes.
Yeah.
Vandy's
that may not
like
be in order.
Best test.
Yeah, Vandy and Kentucky are the two best of Tennessee's
How
opponents.
How did we end up with this schedule this year?
The league?
Yeah, just
I guess they weren't expecting LSU to be as...
Right, yeah, they thought LSU would be a lot better. We dodged Arkansas, somehow dodged A&M. They're really, really good.
Yeah. State. Well, they played A&M last year.
Did we play? We didn't play State.
Last
played
year?
Ole Miss. No, this year.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, played
no,
Ole
we
Miss
didn't
this,
play
year.
This year.
We played Ole Miss.
Yeah.
Do not play State. State's gotten better from what it was the last 2 years because it's just been awful lately.
A lot of good teams, a lot of good coaches. The SEC in baseball, it's tough.
Yes, it is. Well, that'll do it for hour number two. Hour number three coming up next. Tucker Carlson being with their top five at five.
What was that?
What?
Tucker who?
I didn't.
You did.
Yeah, you did.
Again?
Yeah.
Yeah. You did it at the top of the hour,
too. Harlan!
It's all right. It's easy to confuse.
All right. I'm sorry. We'll be right back after these messages. You listen to The Drive on Fan Run Radio.